we'll work through it here. And Ephesians chapter number 5, and that's right, I think he's just trying to repeat what Dad says. And Ephesians 5 in verses 1 through 17, you follow along as I read, and this is what we will look at here today, if the Lord will help us. If not, we'll just try to pick up next time. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." And the Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The message is quite simple. I think anybody could have come up with an elaborate title such as this: walk as children of love, of light, and wisdom. How many say it's right there? You could have come up with that, right? Just because it's just right there. We didn't put something in the text. We just took something out of the text. Amen. That's the difference between exegeting and eisegeting a passage. All right. We want to exegete and see what's there. So, Father, let's do this before I pray. Let's read verse number 8 together. Let's read it. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but are now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Amen? Father, thank you for the time. Please be glorified in it. Help us to walk in love, in light, and in wisdom as your children. We ask that you bless this time and you use it for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. I pray for any amongst us here this day that may not be saved, that are in darkness because of religion, in darkness because they, Lord, have not been awakened out of their sleep of sin and receive light from you. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation before it's eternally too late. And I pray for the believers that we would walk how you would have us to walk. In Jesus' name, thank you for this time. Amen. You may be seated. 9-year-old Tommy had just received a model ship from his great aunt, who lived a considerable distance away. As he looked at the outside of the box and the picture of the completed ship, he was anxious to retrieve it from the box and see it up close for himself. But when he opened the box, he was dismayed to discover that the ship was in small pieces and had to be put together by hand. So he saw the picture on the box and thought that when he opened the box, he would just be able to pull the ship out. and get ready to play with the thing, but it was in pieces, kind of like when you buy a Lego set. It shows you how it's going to look on the box, but you've got to follow the instructions to put it together to make it look like what's on the box. And so he didn't know what to do. His aunt was so far away, and his dad just happened to be out of town. And so he was discouraged, and especially when he remembered, you know what, Dad's not here to help me put this thing together. And then he began to think for a minute, what would Dad do if Dad were here? So he looked around the table and his eyes caught hold of the assembly instructions. And he thought, Daddy would do it right. Amen. He would follow the instructions. You know what? If I want to do it right, I've got to do it like Daddy. This is what the boy began to reason. I've got to do it like Daddy. With that, he followed the instructions carefully and built a beautiful model ship. Later, when his dad saw the finished work and heard what he had done, he praised his son for using his head and his heart to do the right thing. And the truth of the matter is, we need to think more like our Heavenly Father from day to day. Because the truth of the matter is, our Heavenly Father is light. He's love, he's light, and he's wisdom. And we need to use our heads and our hearts to walk in love, to walk in light, and to walk in wisdom. Amen. And so we pick up from last week and we dealt with the issue or the subject of what to do when you're stuck. And it was a message on forgiveness. Amen. And so to catch the context here, I want to draw our attention back to Ephesians 4:32. And the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. And the truth of the matter is this, as children of God, listen, we need to walk in love, and you cannot walk in love without forgiving one another. Amen. There's no way to love God and hold bitter grudges against our brothers or sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to briefly mention that, but we're going to get into the message here. He goes on in chapter number 5 in verse number 1. He says, be ye therefore. And every time you see the word therefore, he is connecting it, obviously, to something that he said before that. And I always say, if you want to to understand the word therefore, you have to see what it's there for. And you oftentimes have to read what came before it. And so he was talking about forgiveness. He was talking about different attitudes, and he was making a distinction between the life of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and a life of a pagan, amen. And then he ends it with this right here, that you and I need to be forgiving one another, and we need to forgive for Christ's sake. We need to forgive even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we see here in verse number 1 of chapter number 5, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The word dear there is agape. But before we get there, he says followers. And we gave this illustration here, and the boys concluded, you know what? He concluded what Dad would do, and he put it together like Dad would put it together. When Dad came, Dad praised him. And we need to understand this right here. As followers of God, having been forgiven for our sins, the word follow means to mimic or to copy, amen? That means we ought to love like God loved. That means we ought to follow, but we ought to imitate the Father. We ought to imitate the Father. This is what the word follow means. It means to mimic. It means to imitate. And then he says this right here, as dear children. The word means beloved children. So understand this. This is our motivation. Do you understand that God loved you? That God loved you and loved me unconditionally, amen? And the things that he's getting ready to lay out here in the next 16, 17 verses are all based off of the fact that you have been unconditionally loved. All right, and so what he is calling on is a response to that unconditional love. Everybody understand what's going on here? And you and I, if you've been forgiven for your sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a dear child of God. Amen. And as dear children of God, listen, the command is walk in love. Yeah. Amen. The command is to forgive. And as a child of God, where once upon a time you and I did not have such an ability to do so, as children of God, it is what's expected to walk in love. And you and I cannot walk in love if we are not forgiving. You and I are not going to walk in love if we do not follow the ways of the Father. Amen. So he says, walk in love, follow God, imitate God. Don't do what you want to do and I do what I want to do and call it love. That's not following God, amen. Don't sit up there and say, I will forgive this one and I won't forgive that one, or I will love this one, but my love doesn't extend that far, because listen, that's not the love of God. Yeah. See that? You're beloved. And we should follow God. One of the ways that we reciprocate God's love is that, listen, when we love each other and when we walk in love. Amen. God has shown you love. And then he says here in verse number 2, he says, walk in love as Christ also. But listen, this is how I know he qualifies how we are to walk in this love. You cannot say, you know what? You can't roll your sleeves up and say, man, I'm going to love because Christ said love. He not only tells us to love, but then he gives us the example how we ought to love. And he says, as Christ also hath loved us. Now, how did Christ love you? How did Christ love me? Amen. Well, this is how he loved. He says, just like Christ. Now, understand what's going on here, because later we're going to get to the working of the Spirit. But no, we've dealt with the Father. We're dealing with the Son right now. And then we get to the Spirit. And all through the book of Ephesians, Paul deals with the Trinity. Amen. Which most people deny the doctrine of the Trinity. And listen, I cannot live my life how God wants me to live without the work of the Trinity. I can't live my life how God wants me to live without the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Everybody understand that? And so he says, listen, as you tread around, this is what the word walk means. But notice this right here. I want to bring this out right here. And this is what makes it possible. As it says, and walk in love as Christ also. So my walk is to be in the sphere, listen, of love. Everybody understand that? Notice it says walk in love. And then it says, as Christ also hath loved us, amen, and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So listen, my sphere is in love. My example is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So I walk in love. In other words, I am constantly resting or treading in the sphere of love. In other words, in Christ, I'm fixed in love. I'm fixed in love. In other words, how else would you walk in Christ? This is the idea. Amen. What else would characterize the life of somebody who has received the unconditional love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. Right. I know it's a shame that it would be characterized by anything else, but this is the idea. What else would characterize your life? Right. If you're in Christ, you and I are in the sphere of love. Mm-hmm. What else would characterize your life? Amen. Mm-hmm. And so he says, walk in love. And then he says this right here. And then he says, as Christ also hath loved us. Well, how did Jesus love? Well, just a few things here. How did he love? He tells us, the Bible says he, first of all, hath given himself for us. We're familiar with that. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. We're familiar. So this is the same imagery. This is the same language here. So just like, notice, when I reciprocate love to God, I am to freely give myself to his will. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. But not only did he come willingly, he also gave himself sacrificially. Yes. All right. He was willing to give and he was willing to sacrifice for the interests of others. Yeah. For that which was best. He gave himself. Now understand this here. We're looking at, just in this phrase, the doctrine really of the atonement and the fact that Jesus paid for our sins. But understand that when he sacrificed himself for us, he did this on our behalf. But when he sacrificed himself on our behalf, it also satisfied at the same time the requirements of God. Amen. All right, let's just say you got maybe a $10,000 debt that you got to pay. I know this is small talk because everybody got $10,000 in their bank account. I understand that. That's fine. Small talk. And let's just say everybody decided to pull together to help this one person pay off their $10,000. All right? Now, we can all make good gestures. I give $50, I get $25, this person give $100. But the truth of the matter is, if it doesn't reach $1,000, it doesn't satisfy it. Well, I gave, ain't that good enough? Well, that's not what we're talking about. Everybody understand what's going on here? All right, so Christ's sacrifice completely satisfied what was required for you to be forgiven. Everybody, you see the difference there? And yes, we can give and we can help one another out, and that's generous and that's kind and that's very thoughtful. But at the end of the day, you may even be close to getting out of debt, but you're not out of debt. All right? So this was not that kind of sacrifice. This sacrifice says, listen, what I am given actually meets the requirements of God so that you and I can be forgiven. Amen? Christ did not give anything less than what was required to make you and me right with God. None. We're still on while we ought to be motivated to follow Him. Amen? So with this being understood, so when Christ offered, now listen, wait a minute. He's calling on you and He's calling on me to have that same kind of sacrificial spirit. Well, how do you do that? You walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And so you understand what's going on here. This, He willingly presented Himself. The offering of Himself was equal to our need for forgiveness. And I am telling you that in Christ, listen, the issue of forgiveness, that's a done deal. Listen, your forgiveness is not on layaway. I was in the furniture store picking up a piece of furniture, and one guy was saying, what's the advantage of layaway and this and that? And the lady said, if you go the layaway route, the furniture stays here until you get the thing all paid off. And he was wanting to take it home. He said, well, what's the difference between this deal and that deal? And he was trying to get a deal, and he was trying to see which one is better and this and that. And I'm thinking, man, I thank God that my salvation ain't on layaway. I said, I thank God that my salvation, that my forgiveness is paid in full. I thank God that I did not have to borrow money for you and borrow money from you and borrow money from this one to get my salvation taken care of. Everybody understand what's going on here? I'm just simply saying that Jesus Christ, His sacrifice met our need right then and there. And you are forgiven right now. You're not waiting to be forgiven. You're not waiting to be justified. You are forgiven right now if you have appropriated by faith the forgiveness of sins that is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're forgiven right now. You're not wondering, will I be saved? No, 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 no. You are saved right now.
Amen.
This was His offering. This is what it accomplished. Amen.
Amen.
And this is how God looks at a sacrifice like that.
Amen.
The Bible says that kind of sacrifice smells good to God.
That's good.
It smells good to God.
Yeah.
God got a nose? Well, it appears that He does. I said, God got a nose. It appears that some things smell good to God.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Okay, I see what's problem. I got to go back to the beginning of the book of Ephesians. I see what happened. Remember when I introduced the book a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
When Paul went into Ephesus, what was it like? It was total darkness.
Yeah.
There were people who, they were not selfless. They were selfish.
Yeah.
They were not givers, but they were takers. They were not people who helped people. They were people who abused one another. Everybody understand what's going on here? Now enters Paul with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody understand how this works? Now enters any preacher into any city with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that Jesus Christ met your need, understanding that you reciprocating this love is a requirement of the Father. Amen. Now it cannot be done in the flesh. It has to be done in the Spirit. But listen, if God commanded it, it's not impossible. This is exactly what God has said. And so in this dark city, against this dark backdrop, Paul is saying, listen, your life is not to be a life consumed with yourself and consumed with your selfish desires. Your life is to be consumed with selfless, sacrificial love for the betterment of others.
Amen.
This is what he says. This is what he says. So, God says that's the only kind of offering that smells good to me.
Help us.
Hey, our good offerings, tainted by the work of the flesh, no matter how sincere we are, it don't smell good to God.
Yeah.
I said it don't smell good. Man, I'm sincere. Oh, I got nothing but love for the brothers. While you really got some secret deal that you got going on the side.
Mm-hmm.
God says that stinks.
Yeah.
God says that stinks.
Yeah.
So God says, listen, sacrificial love for others, listen, is a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. So now, he furthers the contrast here. Now we get into some things here. Verse number 3. But fornication. Do you see the word but? Listen, God says, listen, I'm going to help you define my love. Now understand, back there, continue with the background, they had the Temple of Diana there. They had legal prostitution there. I said everything, all of their businesses was rooted in the false worship of Diana and the temple prostitutes and all of that. And it was a big time business. Everybody understand that? And they justified this. And then God butts in. Everybody understand what's going on here? It's no different today. It may not be the Temple of Diana here today, but listen, there are all kinds of things that go on in the sexual realm today that people think are okay that God says, no, it's not okay. Right. Everybody understand that? And there, listen, wait a minute. Remember Paul told Timothy how the men and the women ought to worship before God? Well, why did he tell them? Because see, Timothy was left there in Ephesus, right? And he talked about how a woman ought to have her head covered and so on and so forth. And what that meant if she didn't have her head covered and so on and so forth. Listen, why? Because in the temple prostitute system, women tried to appeal to God by their physical sensuality. God is still a spirit.
Amen.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
And so Paul says, listen, you've been saved from that garbage.
Right.
You've been saved from that right there. Now, let me show you how to walk in love. Amen. You've been saved from the temple prostitutes. You've been saved from this world of sensuality. You've been saved from all of that. And that's what he gets into right here. And so he uses the word fornication. But notice this, and you'll notice this. Whenever you read Paul's writings and he may mention fornication and adultery. I believe he mentions it there in Galatians. So he makes a distinction between those two words. Everybody understand that? And I think maybe even in Colossians, I think he puts a distinction there as well. You may use fornication and adultery. Everybody understand that? Okay, but here he doesn't use adultery. But he does use the word fornication. Everybody see that? It says here, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, listen to this, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Let's do a little word studies here to help understand what's going on here. Fornication just means this right here. It's a broad word, and it's broad because he does not specifically mention adultery with this list. Everybody understand that? So here's what it means. It means pornography. It means harlotry. It includes adultery. It includes incest. And idolatry. All right? So he does not distinguish it from adultery in this context. And here's what the word fornication means. It means any form of sexual immorality. In other words, in case people are looking for loopholes. It's sad that people are looking for loopholes to do wrong and still say, I'm all right with God. So he goes on. He says, here's this all-encompassing word, fornication. But then he doesn't even stop. Because there's no loopholes. The next word he uses is what? Uncleanness. You see that?
Yeah.
That which is morally wrong. Listen, with yourself or with somebody else.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Now, how in the world did he get here talking about love? Don't you see the contrast?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you see the contrast that a person who has received the unconditional love of God and God calling on the person to reciprocate that love, listen, that love is not going to find itself in sexual sins.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Not in love God.
Right.
No, this is Bible. I know it's Sunday morning and we were looking for a peachy flower for message, especially since the weather was so bad this week, and we were just looking for something to lift our spirits. Let this lift your spirit.
Come on.
This is just where we are. I didn't know who's going to be here, but this is just where we are. All right? Lord will be in verses 18 through a few more verses next week, if God will help us, amen? Or I might need to stop and pick up on this a little bit more. I don't know. You folks seem to be asleep out there, all right? But listen, when you take fornication and you take this word uncleanness, this is what it does. It covers every kind of sexual sinful intercourse outside. Listen to this. It deals with every form of sexual intercourse outside of God's ordained will called marriage.
Yes.
No, wait, let me finish it. Between a man and a woman.
Amen.
So wait a minute. So if you are wondering and the world out there is wondering and the world doesn't have a clue, and am I right with God? Am I practicing this? Can I still be right with God? Listen, are you a man? Are you a woman? Is this a God-ordained marriage? If you've got anything going on outside of that, it is uncleanness. It is fornication.
Yeah.
That's Bible.
Amen.
I said that's Bible. I said, listen to me. Wait a minute. So that rules out, just in case people don't get it. That rules out, listen to me. Let me make this statement. It's amazing how people will forsake and reject God-ordained marriage and then try to justify their actions and call their actions something other than fornication and uncleanness.
Right, right.
Listen to me. Because of that, man and man is ruled out.
Yeah.
Woman and woman is ruled out. Right? Humans and animals are ruled out. What do you mean? Just look at the news these days. Listen, humans and celestial beings are ruled out. What do you mean? People saying, I married this planet. Humans and bodies of water are ruled out. What do you mean? We saw in the news a couple of months ago, this person had married the ocean. Now listen to me. Wait a minute. He's writing to believers.
Yep.
He's writing to believers is who he's writing to. And I know that people will say, wait a minute. You think about this. Judy feels the need to be compensated for the untimely death of her spouse. Who's her spouse? A tree that somebody cut down. Now, Judy's upset. And somebody cut her husband down. Now, we laugh at that, but do you understand that that's where we are today? And I don't know how deep they were back then, but I can tell you this, the Bible seems to have this ability to look down the road and talk about things before they even happen.
Yeah.
It just seems to have that ability. You know what I'm talking about? It just seems to talk about things that you would not imagine, and now they're here and it's like, oh, that's what he was saying by that. And Judy's mad because somebody had cut her tree down. And listen, I'm just telling you that, listen, Fred wants to sue ABC Oil Company because somebody disposed of oil or waste in the part of the ocean that he married. He wants to sue the oil company. Because listen, you poured oil on, I was married to this part of the ocean. Right there, I got that thing marked out right there. And we laugh at that. And you think, surely people don't, man, listen, we are, listen, you want to talk about off the chain? This world is off the chain when it comes to being right with God on this issue of marriage between a man and a woman.
Right.
The world is off the chain. And then they got enough nerve to claim, we love God and this is of God. Well, Sally, you to marry Sue and this is of God. Fred, you to marry Frank and this is of God. Or Sally, you to marry the ocean and this is of God. Uh-uh. No, that's not good at all. And then what do we have going on? Why are now they're fighting for their rights to be recognized as a marriage, that which God says is not a marriage, and then you got to pay for it.
Yep.
And I got to pay for it.
Yep.
With our tax dollars, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly how. Why? Because they're wanting their rights. Listen, this is a legally recognized marriage. And listen, we dealt with Wednesday having a proper knowledge of God and people who have loose morals and some of the governing officials that are in authority with absolutely the morals of a stray dog. They say, you know what? I can see how you marrying the ocean is okay.
Come on.
Jim and John, I can see how you... Yes, yes. Oh, it's so wonderful to join you two together. Ugh, that's sick.
Yeah.
That's sick is what that is.
Yeah.
God never changed his mind on that. Wait a minute. I thought we were preaching about love. We are. And he says in love, this is sick. Isn't it amazing that the world is saying just the opposite of what God is saying? But although the world is saying the opposite of just what God is saying, the world wants your approval on their wicked lifestyles.
Yeah.
They want your approval. They want your approval, and this is why. Because it's all about authority, and because they've rejected authority, they got to somehow feel good about what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Paul says this is nowhere near mimicking the love of the Father. Everybody with us?
Amen.
Nowhere near. But wait a minute. I know in here. Listen to me. I know in here. But probably nobody in here is going to go marry a tree. I hope not. And nobody in here is going to go and mark off a part of the ocean. Nobody's going to try to get to Mars and claim a spot on Mars and say, you know, we're married. Or whatever the case may be. Or what was that shooting star? Or, oh, I'm married to the Big Dipper. Probably nobody's going to be involved in anything like that. All right? But can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Are you into nude pictures? Are you into magazines, Sports Illustrated, with people with no clothes on? Are you into Playboy and sex novels? And are you attracted to those who live indecent lives? Wait a minute. Well, it's no different than the person who wants to marry the tree.
That's right.
Amen. No. See the problem? See how easy? See how we know we wouldn't go off and marry a tree? But then see how we try to justify a magazine or a novel? But God says, listen, is it? Wait a minute. See, because when you introduce Playboy and when you introduce that novel, that's adultery right there. Why? Because adultery means to mix. And God says nothing should be mixed between a husband and a wife. Anything that comes in that, that's mixed. And that's why it's adulterated. We use the term unadulterated. We just means unmixed. So whenever something comes in that marriage, whether it be the lady on the TV show or the cheerleaders at the ball game or the center cut of the latest and greatest Sports Illustrated or whatever the case may be, all you have introduced into your marriage is adultery.
Yeah.
And that's unclean.
Amen.
And that's still Bible.
Yeah.
And I know we won't marry a tree. And I know we won't go and marry the ocean. And I know we won't. Listen. I don't know. I haven't seen this yet, but it won't be long before people are marrying their animals.
Yep.
I hadn't seen that yet, but I've seen illustrations of being with the ocean or whatnot. I mean, I'm just simply saying, and I know that's sick. Yeah. So is introducing things into your marriage or introducing things that you have no business being a part of before you get married. It's still fornication and it is still uncleanness.
Amen.
And so if we're going to point it out, and we should, we ought to point it out in our lives as well, because we cannot walk in love. Everybody understand this? As dearly beloved, and we are, we ought to be motivated to do it like our Father do it. And the Bible says God is light.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what this is all about, in case we're wondering. So, all of this, listen, we live in a society, and the church is full of people. I use the term loosely, but church is full of people, listen to me, who says, you know what, teach them how to use condoms since they're going to have sex anyway. That's what they tell the high school kids. That's still uncleanness. I said that's still fornication. That's still uncleanness is what that is. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Listen, we are consenting adults and it's really nobody's business what we do. Hey, that's unclean is what that is. That's fornication is what that is. Everybody understand what's going on here? It's none of anyone's business. Yes, God says it's unclean, and because all of these feed the fire of unholy passion. That's what this is. Yep. By the way, I know that summertime is here. It's coming. But I just want to remind us of this. God's not a seasonal God.
Amen.
Keep your clothes on.
Amen.
Well, when it's cold, I dress how the God of cold want me to dress. And when it's hot, I dress how the God of heat want me to dress. Nuh-uh. Everybody get it? What are you saying? Listen to me. Church, listen, we may laugh, but listen, this ain't no laughing matter. The Bible says in Matthew 5:27, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what the Bible says. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Hey, ladies, can I just ask you a question when you get in the mirror and put your clothes on? Don't ask another lady how it looks. Because she's just going to say it's cute. I'm just saying, the difference between ladies and men. The man, ain't he's thinking more than cute. How do you know? Because I'm a man, okay? I'm just keeping it real. Oh, child, how does it look? Ooh, child, you look fly. Why don't you just ask God, does he approve of you walking around naked? Why don't you just ask God, does he approve of you walking around with it so tight that all the secrets are removed? Now, we're laughing. Wait a minute. No. I understand. I've seen it. When it's cold, they may put on a little bit of something here. And now we don't really get all the seasons down here. All right? And when it's hot, which, you know, for some people, it's always hot. All right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But listen to me. You say, what does this have? This has everything to do, first of all, with proper worship in the context of God's local New Testament church. It has everything to do with helping your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with selfless love, not thinking about yourself. But you know what? Is this going to cause my brother to offend? Is this going to cause my sister to stumble? Yes, this is what this is all about. And you can't love God if your brothers are struggling. Well, men are dirty and they're gonna think like that anyway. No, some men actually struggle to think how God wants them to think.
Amen.
Amen.
And men could use all the help they could get.
Amen.
Whew, man, I certainly didn't come here for this. I know. Stay tuned. I didn't come here either. I'm getting my toes stepped on. Listen, I might not even come back to church tonight. It's so rough, all right? We'll have to call a preacher, all right, and get him to come. Listen to what I'm saying. God says, you know, we grew up in a culture that says you can look but you cannot touch. God says you look and you're committing adultery. So I say, ladies, won't you help the brothers out? And brothers, won't you control yourself? Amen. No, I say on both ends. The Bible tells me in 1 Timothy that a lady ought to be shamed. Listen to me. That you know, our women don't have any shame about anything anymore. It used to be that the men could outcuss the ladies any day. I'm not promoting cussing. I said I ain't promoting cussing. Woo! Women ain't no joke these days. I said it ain't no shame these days. And they can cuss you out like this too. And pop, 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 pop. And I got my rhythm off, but you get the point, all right? They can really, man, she beat him down. I beat her down just with her tongue and her eyes. And somebody helped that girl get her neck screwed back on. I'm just saying it's rough. But listen to what I'm saying. 1 Timothy 2:9 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. With shamefacedness. Here's the word shame. This is the word I want to... Shamefaced means... You know what? The thought of me... Here's the thing. The thought of me causing my brother or anybody to look at me in a way other than godly, that ought to cause some shame in me. It ought to caution me before I go out and wear certain things.
Amen.
No, it's just in the Bible. That's just all in the Bible. Listen. You're in here, you're married... You're married. You don't belong to anybody but God and your husband.
Amen.
That's Bible. I know. This don't cost you nothing. This is the pre-summer uncut version. It doesn't cost you anything, all right? You in here and you're not married, you've been bought with a price. What you selling?
Amen.
That's Bible. Man, we just thought we'd get it out there. But it's still in the line of am I walking in love? Hey, ladies, cover up.
Amen.
Don't let it hang down or hang up. Cover it up. And don't let it be tight so people can guess what the digits are, whatever the case may be. Cover up. Well, I'm covered. Listen to me. I got clothes on. Well, your nakedness must be leopard print today. What you mean? You got that leopard pattern on so tight. And you say, I got clothes on. No, your nakedness is just leopard print today. You with me?
Yeah.
Or your leopardness is tiger stripe. Or whatever it is that you got going on. I'm just simply saying, you had to put oil on to get that thing on there. That's tight. All right? You know what I'm talking about? And then men. Listen, don't walk around in your 12-year-old brother. And you done tuck his pants. you done tuck your brother's pants. You know what I'm talking about? Your skinny jeans. Well, you walk around like that. Somebody run behind you to try to get them, pull them up. They can't because they don't go over your legs. You know your legs bigger than your brother's legs. Now, what you done tuck his pants for, all right? Everybody with me? Listen, that's unclean is what that is. That's unclean is what that is. And give your brother his pants back. Don't say you bought them at the store like that. I don't believe you bought them at the store like that. You quit taking that boy's clothes, all right? wear your own clothes, all right? And he got your clothes on. He walking around like this. Now your brother got your clothes on. Notice, isn't it so funny? Our boys get dressed and sometimes they get their clothes mixed up. And Micah, what you flooding for? And James, why the pants going over your feet? And we look at them. Y'all need to go switch pants, all right? It's sad. That's indecency is what that is. Listen. I'm going to show off my muscles. Listen, you probably got a bird chest. Don't do that. Man, I got one of them Baywatch bodies or whatever the case may be. Well, listen, the only person that needs to know about it is your wife. Well, I'm not married. Well, wait till you get married.
Amen.
Isn't that something? That's Bible. But he takes this fornication and he takes uncleanness and he couples it with this word, covetousness. And we understand, depending on the context, that covetousness is the desire for more than what is necessary. So that's a general working definition of covetousness. But we are in the context, listen to me, of sexual sins. You see that? So we got to work on the word just a little bit more and take it beyond the definition because it calls for it. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense for Paul to switch subjects like that. And how do I know that? Because when we get back down to verses 5 and 6, he's still talking about the same subject. Everybody understand how that works? So he says covetous. So what is covetous? This is what it is. It's in this context. In this context, it is the insatiable or the fact that you have an undesired or an appetite that cannot be satisfied. It's an appetite of sexual greed to satisfy one's selfish appetite outside of marriage. Remember Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his men servant, nor his maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Everybody understand that? Exodus 20:17. But when Paul places these sins together, when he talks about fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, here's what they are. They are different expressions of the same basic wickedness. Here's what it is of the fallen nature. Basically, this covetousness is this. Just like the fornication and the uncleanness, they are uncontrolled appetites to satisfy the desire, listen to this, by taking something that does not belong to them. Listen to me. Anything outside of the marriage of a man and a woman, anything outside of that, that's fornication, that's uncleanness. And anybody seeking to fill those desires, they're taking something that don't belong to them.
Yeah.
All right?
That's good.
All right, so now you take the word covetousness. In the context of the sexual realm, you're seeking to have your flesh satisfied once again by taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, that's good.
Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet. You get it?
Yeah.
So this is what he does. He takes that and he puts it together like that right there. You want to take something that doesn't belong. And this is what he says. This is what the apostle says. He says, look at what it says. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Everybody see that? What do you mean? First of all, believers should not be involved in it. Second of all, they shouldn't even be talking about it. What do you mean? You know, we talk about a lot of things. Can I just share something with you? The more and more we talk about certain things, the less and less they lose the effect that God intended them to have. All right. I think. Okay. So you see this big event that took place and now it's on Eyewitness News everywhere. I guarantee you people ain't going to care about it like they may have thought about it the first time. Mm-hmm. Or when people see the same thing over and over again, they're going to have a different attitude about it.
Right.
I mean, every day you see murder on TV. Every day this person did this and it's the same nature of that thing right there. You're not going to have the same attitude about it. Mm-hmm. So when believers get together, and it's sad that this happens, and talk about things that ought not be talked about, they lose what God said they ought to have. They ought to have a sting about it. Listen, this is why we don't call sin but what sin is.
Yeah.
And we don't spend our time talking about sin in some lighthearted way. Everybody get it? And God says, listen, not only are you not to be involved in uncleanness, not only are you not to be involved in fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, listen, it ought not to be named among you. It ought not to be named among you as becometh saints. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Listen, he says, it is not fitting for saints to be guilty of committing these sexual sins listed here, neither should they be discussed in any way that would lessen their sinful and shameful character. Listen to me. This is where we are in society today. This is where we are. What do you mean it shouldn't be mentioned and their effect shouldn't be lessened? Well, this is how we describe some of these wicked deeds today that go on today. I'm with him right now. I'm with her. We're living together. We're sleeping together. We're shacking up. That's my baby daddy. That's my baby mama. We're having an affair. Everybody understand that? All right. God says, you don't even talk about it with that language because that just takes the sting off of what it really is.
Wow.
It's fornication. It's uncleanness. It's covetousness. You understand what's going on here?
Yeah.
And when we see it how God sees it, mm-hmm. we ought to be appalled
yeah.
that could go on amongst those who are called saints.
Right.
Child, that's just my baby daddy. You're a fornicator. Whoa, I mean, preacher, don't be too hard on him. Listen, this is what God said. This is what God said. Listen, don't get off in the corner. Listen to me. Don't get off in a corner acting like you're so concerned about somebody that's involved in some sexual sin. Listen to me. Hey, it's all right. Don't get off in a corner and act like you're so concerned about somebody involved in a sexual sin. Hey, man, did you heard about that, bro? Man, yeah, man, I don't know why he involved in that wicked practice. God says, that don't need to be the talk. You don't even need to get off in a corner. And even if you done heard something, why? Because it has an effect that it still has a corrupting nature about it, and you can only stand to hear so much corruption before your mind's thinking in a way that it wasn't thinking.
Right.
Listen to me. I'm telling you this. God allows me to pastor. I know this is so. They're thinking, I don't want to know the details of this and that and the other. I don't even want to know about this. You with me? Because it corrupts you and it makes you filthy. And now, listen, and as it makes you filthy, you might begin to have sympathy for it.
Help us.
Now, I know that's true, and we're going to get into some things that I believe are going to justify these statements here in just a few moments. Now, we hadn't got to the preaching yet, so just hold on. It's going to take a long time, especially I don't have any water, so we're just going to be here. I might have to die and somebody have to resuscitate. I don't really know. Maybe get me a cold drink or something. I don't really know. But we're going to try to work through this. Amen. This is just where we are. Amen?
Amen.
And then verse number 4. I know. 17 verses. I know. It's terrible. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Did Paul switch subjects on us? Look at me. No. You ever wonder what jesting is about? And you ever felt guilty when you cracked a joke or something? Well, this ain't that. Hopefully you done figured it out by now what he's talking about. Isn't it just good to read the Bible?
Amen.
So filthiness. What is this? Well, he's continuing with this theme. This is that which is shameful obscenity. It's a shame and it's obscene. You see it on the billboards. You see it everywhere. You see it in Hollywood. You see it in Hell's box office. Sin to the max and all of that. This is where you see it. This which is filthy is disgraceful. It's vile words or vile acts is what it is. And then he says foolish talking. Everybody see that? The word foolish talk, here's the concept. It means easy turn of speech. Easy turn of speech. What does that mean, easy turn of speech? You ever been around somebody? You couldn't even carry on a decent conversation to where they took your words and twisted them into something dirty and perverted? They can take any conversation. It does not matter. You could be talking about airplanes. You could be talking about rubber duckies on the ocean. And they can take it. It doesn't matter what it is. They can take it and make something dirty out of it.
Right.
They can just, whatever the conversation. Man, my mind wasn't even nowhere near there. How did you come up with that? They're filthy. I had a couple of guys on the Navy ship. I was on the Navy ship. Man, they hung out together specifically for this purpose. And they would open up an open conversation. And they would bait people to join in on that conversation, and then they would just twist it and make a fool out of a person because they turned it filthy just like that. And they would do that. They would go over the ship and they would do that. Their minds were just filthy. Their minds were filthy. They could take somebody's speech. They could take somebody's conversation. And that's not what I meant. Well, I mean, it could have been taken either way. No, that's just how your mind works. That's how your mind works. Everybody understand that? That's filthy is what that is. That's foolish talking is what that is. In other words, it's foolish talking about sexual sins in a foolish spirit where one can turn any conversation into a joking comment of sexual matters and usually give it a double meaning. It's closely likened to jesting. Jesting is double talk with obscene allusions producing decay in its moral effects. And so you have the foolish talking and then you have the jesting. It's not that light-spirited jesting. In other words, this jesting here, it's wit, but it's wit used in unholy ways. There's nothing wrong with people with wit. I think people are gifted who are quick on the tongue and they can use that to maybe encourage somebody or make somebody laugh in a lighthearted way. Everybody understand that? This ain't that. Everybody hear what I'm saying? This ain't that. All right? This is dealing with, it's a double reference. And oftentimes the person who's saying something and the person who's coming back with something dirty, the person who's saying something, they don't have a clue what they're giggling about. Everybody with me? He got his buddy. They done turned everything dirty. And this person has said something, and man, what's so funny about what I said? And they're laughing about it, and it's wicked as all get out. Everybody with me? The people with these kind of minds, listen, they all their mind focuses on is every opportunity given them to grow and spread their filthiness by double talk and filthy secret meanings. That's what they do. Now, what does Paul say? And how do we know that these words fit this conversation? We'll look at verse number 5. For this ye know that know what? Whoremonger. He's still dealing with the same subject. Everybody see that? So when he talks about filthiness, when he talks about jesting, when he talks about foolish talking, all of this is in the realm of sexual sins. Everybody get that? So he says this right here. Wait a minute, let me finish verse number 4. He says, which are not convenient, I'm sorry, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks for what? Giving of thanks for the gift of sex in the context of marriage. That's it. We ought not downplay it. We ought not make fun of it. People that are not married, and they ought not be talking about it. Yeah. Amen. And people that are married ought not be making it filthy.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. No. Married people and single people, they're just some conversations that they can't have. Yeah. As a matter of fact, just because you're married don't mean you can have a conversation about this with a married person.
Right.
This is a subject rather to be given thanks for, not to be abused, not to be prostituted, not to be polluted.
Yeah.
Everybody with me? It's a gift from God. Yes, it's not dirty. It's not filthy. It's not anything like that. In its proper context, it is a gift from God, and it needs to be exalted as such.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. Just sit tight. Everybody with that? Now, Paul goes on. We ought to give thanks. We ought to give thanks for this gift. We ought not abuse it. We ought not call it something other than God calls it. We ought not do that. Now, verse number 5. We're working. For this ye know. Hey, saints, you ought to know this. That no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. Why is he an idolater? Because he desires more than what's necessary and he's willing to do anything to take it. He is an idol worshiper. He has a false image of God because he thinks it's going to bring him satisfaction, and only God can truly bring satisfaction, and that man is an idolater. Get it? Hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Everybody see that? What is this all about? Well, people who, listen to me, who have not, listen, as believers, it ought not be named amongst us. But for those where this is the habitual practice, you know this already. They don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What do you mean? They're not saved.
Yeah.
You're judging. No, that's just what God said.
Right.
God says, you actually know this, although you can't see the heart. You actually know this. What do you know? Anybody who has deviated, listen to me, from the context of a man and a woman, they have no inheritance in God's kingdom or the kingdom of Christ.
Right.
That's hard preaching. No, this is why you ought to read the Bible. And the minds that are so filthy that all they do is joke about these matters and make light about these matters and make filth about these matters, you know that mind's not regenerate. Remember we dealt with the pagan mind a couple of weeks ago and how deep some of the pagans can go with their thinking and how they're alienated from God because they have not the life of God. Well, here's just some of the manifestations of it. He got into some general things, and now he gets into some of the specific things of the same things that we looked at in chapter number 4. Everybody get what's going on here? Read the Bible, amen. Read the Bible. And so he says, man, praise the Lord. Where did this thing come from? Look at this here. Man, we might, hey, I don't know how about a whole lemon. Good. Whoever got this, praise the Lord. So we'll be able to get out at 3 after all. That's wonderful. I'm just simply saying, well, because I'm not going to pass out. But now I'm not going to get this thing open. Oh, here we go. Good. Wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful. Ain't this water good, y'all? You know, would you? Listen to me. This is what he says. Paul hasn't departed from the subject, but those who are believers ought to know that those whose lives are characterized by the things that he said believers shouldn't be involved in, he says you ought to know they don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And that's what's wrong with them Christians, because they're always judging people and they're mean and there's no love in that church and I don't really understand this and this and that. Listen, I say, you better listen. Some save with fear, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. I said, some of them, you better scare the hell out of them. You know what I'm talking about? Because these deviant lifestyles, that's where they're going. That's where they're going. This mindset. That is this mindset that is set on filth. There is no indication that the light of the love of Christ has been there. Everybody with me? Now listen to me. Listen to me. He says, let no man deceive you. You see that? Let no man deceive you. Deceive about what? Listen. Remember in Ephesus, they had the temples. They had the temple. They had the prostitutes. They have people claiming I'm right with God while I'm involved in my deviant practices. Do you see why he would make this statement? And listen, it's no different today. It's no different today. I mean, there are more scandals in the sexual realm in church than any other place. Not to mention in the world, not to mention in the false religious systems that has some kind of deviant sexual practice as its center of worship. And Paul says, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. What would they try to deceive me about? Well, let no man deceive you about this right here. Don't let anybody persuade you. Here's what he's saying. Don't let anybody persuade you that these acts are actually innocent. Now, listen, I don't know everybody's life, everybody been in here, but some of you got people that's trying to tell you that this stuff is okay. And you hang out with them. Or you know them, you've got some kind of relationship with them, and they're constantly trying to justify their practice to you while calling themselves Christian. Paul says, don't let them deceive you. But preacher, you don't understand. My mom or my dad or my sister or my uncle. Let no man deceive you. Amen. Everybody understand what's going on here? Everybody, I said, let no man deceive you. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. I've had family members die because of AIDS, because of this practice. Everybody with me? God says, let no man deceive you. This is what God says, let no man deceive you. Why? Because listen, they think, you know what? What I'm practicing, this just innocent. I mean, doesn't God want us to love everybody and everything? I mean, man, what's wrong with the ocean? Or what's wrong with the dog? Or what's wrong with me loving another? Well, I mean, we found true love. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. It is an abomination. Listen, if it is outside of a man and a woman in the context of marriage, it is an abomination. And listen, we have many abominable people going out there and wanting to yoke up with you and be your friend. And they want to know, does your church accept homosexuals? Listen, where do you stand on that anyway? I believe God can save any sinner. But that homosexual needs to repent. I said that lesbian, that woman with woman, they need to repent. That man with man, he need to repent. That man with the dog, he need to repent. Everybody understand what's going on here, or they will go to hell.
Right. Amen.
Right.
So let no man deceive you. You're preaching hate. Yeah, I'm preaching that I would hate for you to die and go to hell in your
That's
sin.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Listen, it doesn't matter how close they may be to you. It doesn't matter, family member or friend. It doesn't matter, long-standing acquaintance. Let no man deceive you about these filthy sins of the flesh that ought not characterize the life of somebody who has received the adulterated love of God. Let no man deceive you. And this is why somebody who has been born again by the Spirit of God cannot continue in this sin. You're judging. No. Don't die and go to hell. Don't die and let somebody go to hell without warning because you think they're going to think, well, you're judging me.
Right.
Let them say you're judging them and you just keep warning them.
Amen.
I say, let them keep saying, man, I'm Christians. They judge. No, man, you can't go. They hate speech, man. You tell them you're something. They might picket your house or something. Yep. We'll picket it. Repent.
Amen.
We came here for this today. It's just what's on the menu. Just what's on the menu. Amen. Listen, here's what's going on here. Those who practice these abominations, the Bible does not call them children of God. The Bible calls them children of disobedience.
Yeah.
Right in the Bible. Okay, so wait a minute. You're a dear child, which means that your life, you've been touched with the unadulterated love of God. So God says your life is different. So a child of God, hey, here it is, will not be characterized by disobedience, especially in these areas. You get it? So God makes a distinction. He makes a distinction in 1 John 3:10. Here are children of God, here are children of the devil. All
right,
children of disobedience, children of darkness, children of the devil. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Just different angles on the same thing. Mm-hmm. Children of God, children of light, children of faith. Who are those? Children of God. Everybody understand what's going on here? But things that are different are not the same. You are not a children of light and a child of darkness at the same time. You are not a child of faith and a child of disobedience at the same time. Everybody understand what's going on here? Listen, disobedience and darkness does not characterize the life of somebody that's born again by the Spirit of God. So let no man deceive you. Well, preacher, I'm confused about this because such and such said, and she said she saved, and he said he saved, and I was actually there when they got, you know, baptized. Not baptism don't save you, but I mean, I'm just simply saying, and I was there. I saw the person walk forward and bow their head, and so on and so forth. I'm just telling you that. Listen, salvation without repentance is like a bird without wings. It just don't fly. It just don't fly. So, don't let those who profess some spirituality deceive you either.
Right.
What do you mean? They've got a religious element to it. Oh, I love God. You ain't talking about the same God.
Right.
Hey, listen, that sodomite ain't talking about the same God you're talking about.
Right.
Did you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That sodomite saying God is love, he ain't talking about the same God that you're talking about.
Right.
So don't let him deceive you. Don't let them deceive you. For because of these things, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Listen, no matter how sophisticated they sound, no matter how they cunningly devise their fables and play on your emotions and this and that, make you think, you know what? Sodomites are not so bad after all. Listen, that's where we are today. They're not so bad. They're not so bad after all. No. They can't produce, so they want to recruit your children.
Uh-huh. Yep.
What do you mean? A man and a man can't produce.
That's right.
So they got to get somebody else involved. A woman and a woman can't produce. So they got to get somebody else involved. No, they are bad. They are wicked.
Yeah.
That's hate speech. No. Let no man deceive you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you hate them? No. I don't want them around my kids.
Right.
I don't want them around you.
Right.
I don't want them convincing you that it's okay. Whoa. That's how he feels about it. Now that's how God feels about it.
Amen.
Everybody with me? Well, didn't Jesus go unto sin? He sure did. Did he partake of those sins? He sure did not.
Nope.
No, he I said he didn't make them feel comfortable one bit in their sins. But you'll let them invite you out to dinner. Like their deviant lifestyle is okay because they bought you steak. It doesn't change the fact that they're wicked. Now you're about to make me mad. Thought he was already mad. That's debatable still, but I'm just saying. Listen. Listen to me. When you break the laws of nature, punishment is inevitable. What do you mean? The laws of nature. A man shouldn't be with a man. A woman shouldn't be with a woman. A person shouldn't be with an animal. When you go, hey, why? Because God has set that in order. When you go against that, listen, disease sets in. Desolation of the soul, judgments. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about Canaan, how the land wanted to throw them out. They were so abominable. The land wanted to spew them out. Everybody understand what's going on here? You break the laws of nature. Listen, it's going to cause destruction. And so he says in verses 7 and 8, separate. You see that? He says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. What do you mean? Well, for ye were sometimes darkness. What are you saying, God? God is simply saying, if you got saved out of some of this mess, the last crowd you ought to be caught running with is the crowd that I saved you out of.
That's right. That's right.
And when you separate from them, you help to confirm unto your own soul, this is what I used to be. This is who I used to run with. But now I'm a child of light. I was sometime darkness. I was sometime disconnected from God. I was sometime filled with hate and bitterness. I was sometime given over to all kinds of sexual deviations. Not that everybody stooped to the same degree. But listen, without the light of God, what were you subject to? But now you're a child of light. Everybody understand what's going on here? And now my life is going to be marked by separation. It's not going to be okay. I'm not going to want to wish that I could go back to my BC days and hang out with my old BC crew and, you know, and doing the things that we used to do. Doing that rhyme, but it don't cost you anything. But the fact of the matter is this: you are a child of light.
Amen.
That don't cost you anything. Get a copyright on that right there. For ye were sometimes darkness. In other words, there ought to be a marked difference between your life, what used to characterize your life, and your life now.
Amen. That's right.
Don't let your relatives talk you out of it.
Yep.
Don't let your friends talk you out of it.
Amen.
Don't let the co-workers talk you out of it. No. Your distinct life ought to pour some conviction on theirs.
Yeah.
Where do you get that from? Aren't we reading? Now ye are what? Light in the what? Hey, listen. Please understand this. The moral man, hey, the moral man don't produce light like you do. Because
yeah.
The moral man may be moral, but he's not in the Lord.
Yeah.
Ye are light fixed in the Lord.
Amen.
Your permanent position is in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Hence comes your light. The moral man may look like you in some ways. In other words, there may be some moral people who wouldn't think about a man being with another man. Everybody understand that? It doesn't mean that he's light in the Lord, though. You're light in the Lord. Everybody understand that? Theologically, that's your position. Your practices walk as children of light. Isn't that in the Bible? That's in the Bible. Look at what it says here. He says, walk as children of light. You see that there? So verses 7 and 8a tells me this. I need to separate. Now, if you don't separate from darkness, if you don't separate from people who are jesting and practice these forms of deviation, you know what they're going to do? They're going to constantly wash you with their wicked conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to remember, you were sometimes darkness. Is the mind being renewed? Remember, we're going back. Remember this? He's just putting concrete terms on some things that we kind of discussed generally a couple of weeks ago. Now he's just giving some concreteness to it. You remember how it was before you got saved? Listen, you probably didn't really think it was a real issue to abort babies before you got saved and realize that's murder. You probably didn't realize it was a, you probably thought, man, let everybody, hey, do you? You, that woman want to be with that woman? Do you? You probably thought that was all right before you got saved. Everybody with me? You got around the crowd, they told the dirty jokes. You laughed and, ha, ah, he's so silly. Ha, ha, that girl is a clown or whatever the case may be. And you just thought, you know what? That's just how you were. And God says it ought not characterize your life. That crowd ought not characterize. Everybody understand what's going on here?
Amen.
Ye were darkness.
Yep.
Sometime darkness. But now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Everybody understand that? Then he says here, verses 9 and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. For the fruit of, now we've got the working of the Holy Spirit. We've got God the Father. We've got God the Son. Now we've got the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Look at what he does. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. When I follow the leading of the Spirit, I'm going to have a good life. I'm going to have a right life. And my life is going to be, listen, marked by truth. And that is acceptable to God. Amen. But once again, he's still drawing a contrast between the works of darkness. He's still drawing a contrast between people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Everybody understand what's going on here? And my life is going to be different because I am in the Lord walking as a child of light. Everybody understand that there? And then he goes back, verse number 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Listen, this is hard. Can I just say something to you? You are not going to do it differently than what God said and produce what God wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when God says, you know what? Separate from the unfruitful works of darkness. It doesn't matter what realm it is, whether it be in the sexual realm, whether it be in the financial realm, whatever the realm it is. I'm just kind of opening up the application a little bit. But you're not going to produce what God wants if you go off and do something different than God does.
Right.
So that person is disciplined out of church. Or that family member or that friend, they are vile in their ways towards God. And you continue to want to be friends with them. You want to be close to them. Oh, I'll win them. I'll win them. I'll win them. I'll win them. Have no fellowship. Don't partake of it. And then he comes back and says, have no fellowship. God doesn't understand that I love him. You don't love him more than God does.
That's right.
You ain't do for him more than what God did for him.
Amen.
You don't know better than God.
Right.
You mean to tell me, no, don't go off and say what the preacher meant to tell you. Won't you just do what the Bible said?
Amen.
He says this right here. For it is a shame. He gets back to this now, verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And listen, if you didn't run with them, you wouldn't know some of the secrets. And you wouldn't be tempted to talk about it. You see? If you didn't know it, some of them did, because you didn't run with them, that's better for you. Because once it's up there, all I got to do is be walking through Walmart. One of my jams, come on. Boom, bang. I don't have the CDs anymore, the records. I threw them things away a long time ago or whatever store. Like, man, how do I still remember all the words? This is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody, okay, good. Wonderful, good. We got one person. Everybody else laughing because they're guilty too. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not saying go to Walmart to catch up on your latest groove, all right? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this. Once it's planted up there, you ain't getting rid of it.
That's right.
And some of you done heard conversations, and some of you done seen things that's up there, and you ain't getting rid of it.
Yeah.
And so God says, if you fellowship with them, you're probably going to see and hear some things that you wish going to wish you didn't hear.
Right.
And you'll be tempted to repeat it.
Yeah.
Can you keep a secret? No. That's satanic as all get out. Keeping secrets is just another form of bondage. probably never thought about it like that, but that's exactly what it is. Can you keep a secret? Now you locked into this bondage. Have you ever thought about that? The devil loves it when people keep secrets. I won't tell if you don't tell. Well, if it's light, why hide it? I said, if it's light, why hide it? Huh? That's how all the cults, can you keep a secret? You with me?
Yeah.
That's how they thrive. Listen, we are the initiate. The outsiders, they don't have knowledge like we have. And them folks in bondage. Can you keep a secret?
Right.
Everybody with me?
Yeah.
What's so secret about going to all the world?
That's right.
Preach the gospel to every creature. We ain't got nothing to hide. No secret in that. Amen.
That's good.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Light in the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit proves what is acceptable to the Lord. Don't partake. Don't fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Listen, look at verses 12 through 14. I'm trying to finish this up, but y'all won't let me. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But listen, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Now, you're light. For whatsoever doth make manifest, whatsoever reveals is light. Everybody get it?
Amen.
Wherefore, or because of this, look at this right here. This is so good. He saith, awake thou that sleepest.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I could be wrong on this. I don't think I am. But I do believe that God wants to use your light of life to give an invitation to the lost because they're asleep in their sin.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I could be wrong. I could be wrong on how I'm cutting this. Everybody understand that? I don't think we ought to break fellowship over it, but I do believe that you are supposed to be salt.
Yeah.
And I do believe that you're supposed to be light. And I do believe that when you stand for God as a contrast to somebody's sinful lifestyle, it ought to wake them up and help them to see, I'm in a wrong way here.
Right.
And I need to call on Christ who will give me light.
Amen.
Now that's how I cut it. You can say, I don't agree. That's fine. You don't even have to come tell me you don't agree with it. Don't get mad and burn my house down or something. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Look at what he says. This, in other words, it seems to me that God wants to take your practical holiness. God wants to take your practical, separated holiness as a child of light to correct children of darkness by your words and by your ways so that they can call on Christ to give them light.
Amen.
Yeah. There's a direct connection between us walking in light, reproving darkness, and Christ convincing lost sinners that they need to wake up and receive His light. That's the way He says, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest. Who sleep? People who are dead in trespasses and sins.
Yeah.
They're asleep. They're asleep. You know, those people practicing that, those people jesting, and those people with those filthy jokes, and those people, men with men and women with women, they're asleep.
Yes.
And they need to wake up before they die and go to hell.
Yeah.
And you can only help by being holy. Yeah, that's I believe that's what this is saying.
Yeah.
Verses 15 through 17. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to land the plane now. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Everybody see that?
Amen.
Now, listen to me. The worse and more corrupt the manners of this world are, the more watchful we ought to be in every situation and give regard to nothing but the will of God. Listen to me. We ought to be shining brighter and brighter as this world grows darker and darker. So it says redeem the time. What does that mean? It means to buy back the opportunity. Seize the opportunity. Why? Because first of all, in God's eyes, we done lost a lot of time and we done lost a lot of ground.
Yeah.
It's time to do right with the time we have right now. We read this morning, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me in thy way.
Yeah.
Well, this he's saying no different than this right here. Everybody understand what's going on? Listen, listen, we need God to turn away our eyes from beholding vanity because people are in darkness. Mm-hmm. And the bad part is people are in darkness and we're not too far from darkness because we like to keep company with darkness and still call it Christian. Okay. And they're dying and going to hell, and the only difference between them and us is, hey, I say I'm saved. You ought to look like you're saved.
That's right.
You ought to talk like you're saved.
Right.
You ought to fellowship with saved
right.
people.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, is that Bible? Well, is it? Opportunities, listen, opportunities to do good because time is running out. You ought to look for opportunities to do good right now because time is running out. And then the Bible says this right here, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Preached a message a little bit ago on knowing the will of the Lord. Listen, you ought to be progressing individually in the perfect will of God for your life. You ought to be making progress in the will of God. We ought to be making progress in the will of God collectively as a church, but you ought to be making progress in the will of God. Listen to me. God has a will. Some of you in here, spiritually, you're asleep. You don't have a clue that God's interested in you and that He actually has a purpose and a will for your life. And you're somewhere in la-la land while the world is going to hell and you think it's a playground and it's a battlefield and you're just not engaged. I say, you're not engaged. People dying and going to hell, and you're trying to figure out how long we're going to be trying to figure out what God wants us to do when He done clearly made some things just so clear to us.
Right.
Now, this is what He says about you, and this is what He says about me. This is what He says. So we say we need to walk in love. We need to walk in light. So this is about walking in wisdom. And I'm done. But look at what He says. Circumspectly. The word circum, we get circle, right? You ever seen maybe a cat walk on a fence to keep from tipping on that fence?
Mm-hmm.
They're walking circumspectly. They're trying to make sure they step right so they don't fall off the fence, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And they're walking watchfully as well. God says you need to be sensitive to Him to know where to step and know how to look. Circumspectly.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because just the opposite of somebody that's a circumspect walker is somebody who walks foolishly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? They don't have any direction. Proverbs says a fool's eyes is in all the earth.
Yeah.
But I understand what's going on here. Yeah, just scripture with scripture. But listen to me. You don't want to walk like that. You don't want to walk believing everything and going for everything and being involved in everything.
Right.
That ain't circumspectly. Because you just don't have, you got one life to live. You only have so much energy allotted to you. Everybody understand? And God says, as a child of wisdom, you need to make the best of this opportunity. I'm not going to be able to make the best of this opportunity if I'm not even aware that God has a will for me. But I understand what's going on here. I said today we need to make the best of the opportunities that God has given us. Look at what He says here in verse number 16. Redeeming the time. Using the time wisely. Why? Because the days are evil. Hey, do you understand that the days are evil that we live in today? Do you understand that Christ could come back at any moment? Do you understand that decay is all around you? Listen, let's not contribute to the problem. Let's stand against and help to retard or push back the problem with righteousness until the Lord returns. So He says, wherefore, be ye not unwise. Verse number 17. What is this all about? If we don't walk circumspectly, and if we don't walk knowing the will of God, I'm a fool.
Yeah.
Especially when He's went out of His way so that I can know it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you? No, that's Bible. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding with the will of the Lord. So what do you mean? Unwise is when I do not understand what the will of the Lord is. You see how that's defined? So when I, wait a minute, when I walk around and God says there's understanding for you to be had and I choose to walk in the way that is not understanding, I'm a fool. But I've received unadulterated love from the Father. I'm His child. I ought to walk in light. I ought to walk in wisdom. The world is not getting any better. Father, thank You for this day. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hey, maybe you're in here. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me quickly. Maybe you're in here. You've never been saved. I know it's been long. Hey, maybe you're in here. You've never been saved. Maybe Christ is calling you to wake up out of your sleep of sin, out of your sleep of being lost, out of your sleep of being separated from Him. Listen, if you're in here today and you are not saved, You are not a child of God. You are a child of disobedience. You are not a part of Christ's kingdom. You are lost and dead in trespasses and sins, and you are going to die and go to hell, and God does not want that for you. And He's saying to you, awake, thou that sleepest. He's saying, wake up. He says, I want to give you light. He's calling you by His gospel. He's calling you to receive His light, calling you to receive His salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed in here. Maybe you're in here today and maybe you're asleep because you have not been personally forgiven for your sins. Anybody in here like that? You say, every head bowed and every eye closed. We're not going to pick on anybody. But you say, I'm not saved. I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I would like to be saved. I would like to be a children. I would like to be a child having received the love of God. I would like to be a child of light. I would like to walk in wisdom. Listen, you can't do any of those things if you haven't been saved and you're on your way to hell. And I don't say that to shun you or to be mean to you. I say that because it's true and God loves you and He wants to save you. Are you in here this day and you say, I'm not saved. I'm not a child of light. I'm not a child of God. I'm not a child of wisdom. As a matter of fact, I look at my life, it's been rather a mess. I don't know what will God has for me. I understand that I'm created and I'm here, but I don't know what God has for me. Listen, that's not good. Maybe you're in here today. Listen, every head bowed, every close. Do you know for sure if you're going to go to heaven when you die? Do you know if you've been saved? You say, if you've been saved, and you know that you've been saved, and you know that you're a child of God, won't you indicate that by uplifted hands? You say, I know that I'm saved. I'm not asking you if you go to church. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you are religious. I'm asking you, have you been saved? If you're in here and you say, I've been saved, won't you indicate that by uplifted hands? You say, I know, I've been saved. I'm saved. I know I've been saved. No, don't look around and put your hand up just because you see other people do it. You say, I know I've been saved. If you're in here today, you've been put your hands down. If you're in here today and you say, I don't know for sure that I have been saved or I'm not saved, but I would like to be saved. Won't you put your hand up and say, I'd like to be saved. I'm not saved, but I would like to be saved. Anybody in here like that? I'm not saved, but I would like to be saved. Anybody in here like that? Okay. You may put your hands down. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercies. Lord, help us, God. Help us to walk as children of light. You're in here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you walking in love? You got somebody standing outside of the boundaries of your love? Are you reciprocating the love of God by walking in love? Are you walking in light? Does your life contribute to the problems that we have in the world? Or does your life expose the sin in the world? It's doing one or the other. It's doing one or the other. Are you a child of light? Are we making the best and the most of the opportunities that God gives us? Are we walking in wisdom? So every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody need to do business with God? Anybody need to talk with God about, hey, where are you? You walking in love? You walking in light? You walking in wisdom? Because as children of God, this is what He's commanded us to do. So Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for being so merciful to us. We ask that You would help us to do it like You, Father. You are light. You are love, and You are wisdom. Help us to imitate You, Father. Help us to follow You, God. Help us to love. Help us to be light. Help us to walk in wisdom. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.